This is The Rush with Ryan and Jay. Today with special guest co-host Tamara Cherry on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
Nice to have you in this afternoon. If you'd like to be part of the show, and we recommend that highly at 416-872-1010, you can phone us. Or you can text the show at 71010. We recommend both as a great way to get involved and be part of the program. We like a little interaction, right space throughout the entire 4 hours of love that we drop every single afternoon.
This story
caught my attention. And I got to be honest with you. My initial reaction was to roll my eyes. And that's not to disparage the work my brothers and sisters, my colleagues in the media put in on a day-to-day basis, because some of what journalists do, capital J journalists and real capital R reporters do on a day-to-day basis, you wouldn't wish upon your worst enemy. You wouldn't want your worst enemy to show up to a car accident where a family is battered, bruised, and dead. You wouldn't want your family members to show up and have to report on the scene of a grisly murder where you might be the first person there because you get the call or you're a cameraman or, you know, all of these people work in the news medium. That's difficult. And I can understand how that's damn near traumatic, if not completely traumatic, when it comes to covering those type of things. Major disasters, earthquakes, tornadoes, families being ripped apart through terrorist acts, 9/11. There are a lot of things out there that I would say I wouldn't want to do it. And I've covered some things. You know, I've seen dead bodies before. I've you know, had guns put in my face through this profession. I'm not saying I'm stronger, bigger, whatever. I've had it happen. I've kind of walked it off and that's it. When I read this story today, I couldn't help but think, really? Apparently, you remember the Capitol Hill riots, right? The insurgents that happened back on January 6th of this year. You had a bunch of, you know, guy dressed as a Viking. There were all sorts of different people, a bunch of wackadoos, basically, stormed the Capitol building. Some of them made their way inside. Five people died as a result. So I will put that on the record. There were five people who died in the Capitol Hill riot. One of them was a police officer that was beaten. One was a rioter that was shot. Three others died of natural causes during the ensuing rampage.
Sounds like a very traumatic event.
No, it sounds like an insurgence at Capitol Hill that was basically caused by a bunch of goofy people that really couldn't be taken all that seriously. But
just an insurgence at Capitol Hill. These things happen all the time. They should be expected. Continue.
Apparently, a number of the reporters who survived, this is the way this is being written, who survived the Capitol Hill riot are still struggling. And many of them are struggling so much because of that event, they are not showing up to their jobs. Now, they're trying to do their work from home, but they feel that because they were so traumatized by this event that they can no longer function as proper reporters out there in the field, and it's going to take them some time. I thought this was a no-brainer to say, okay, you got into the world of reporting, you got into the job of reporting. You know, you saw some things on Capitol Hill that you didn't love. It wasn't great. It wasn't the Tea Party by any stretch. But you had some freedom to move around the hill. You weren't pinned inside one particular area. And even if you were, you kind of understand. I mean, I've seen journalists that have worked in war zones that have done phenomenal work, that don't take any stress leave because they know that that's the nature of what they got themselves into.
And you think that you assume that they're all doing okay, right? Because they haven't they haven't taken time off. Or could that be because mental health is not talked about in their newsrooms and they feel that taking time off would be a sign of weakness?
That may well be the case, but I haven't had time to go around and survey each and every one of them. If they were in a war zone and they said, you know, I'm kind of traumatized by some of the stuff I've seen, the sleepless nights, the bombs dropping, that type of thing, I'd say, yeah, you know what? You deserve some time off. That's some real trauma you're dealing with right there. When you talk about the Capitol Hill insurgents, I don't look at that as a traumatic event for a reporter to cover. I look at that as a news story that a reporter is there to witness and report back on. I don't see where this trauma is coming from, and you're already shaking your head at me for probably the third time today.
Oh my God, I was shaking my head at you the half an hour conversation we had on this before we went on the air. First of all, first problem, you cannot judge what is traumatizing for one person or another. You were not in this situation. Second of all, I don't think that you can minimize what happened on Capitol Hill as an outside observer and talking about it as hindsight being 2020. Oh, only this number of people died, only this, whatever. I want to read part of this news story because I think it's quite illustrative of what these reporters witnessed and everybody that was there. So this is talking about Bloomberg news reporter Eric Wasson. I apologize if he's listening and I mispronounced his name. Says officers barred the doors and told reporters and lawmakers trapped in the gallery to put on gas masks because tear gas had been deployed. Then the rioters started banging from the outside. When they busted through the windows of the House floor with flagpoles, he thought they had guns and dove to the floor thinking that the rioters were going to start shooting. Shortly afterward, he heard a shot outside. That later turned out to be the officer's bullet that killed rioter Ashley Babbitt. I have, and I've mentioned it on this show before, I've mentioned it to you, for the past year I've been entrenched in a research project examining the impact of the media on victims and survivors of traumatic events, and also the impact on the reporters that report on traumatic events. This is no doubt, in my mind, a traumatic event. And you cannot distinguish between somebody who is a mere observer as a reporter. This is still a human being. These are still human beings who are there and thinking, am I about to die? Am I going to get to go home to my partner, my kids?
Hold on a second. You know, this is where I have to stop you. Where do you get to the point where they're automatically thinking they're going to die? The bullet was being fired outside. This person was inside. They were in no actual danger.
The rioters were trying to get inside. He thought they had guns.
They were trying. They didn't succeed.
He dove to the floor, obviously, because he thought his life was in danger, thinking that the rioters were going to start shooting. And then he heard a gunshot shortly thereafter.
Did the rioters start shooting when they got inside Capitol Hill?
It doesn't matter. It is the whole jarring situation. He thought that they were about to start shooting because of the situation. It is not a normal thing for people to storm Capitol Hill. It is not a normal thing to be sitting in on a vote counting and suddenly see security guards taking out their guns to try to push back people who are breaking windows and trying to get in. That is a traumatic situation. You cannot sit back and judge and say somebody else should not be feeling traumatized by this happening.
I'm glad you used the word normal. And a lot of the time, the news is abnormal. That's why it's news. That's why it's different. And that's why we got into the job in the first place. We don't report normal. We don't report normal.
Capitol Hill is not a place that you would expect armed rioters to be storming it. I'll also point out that in the vast majority of journalism schools, while this is starting to change, and I'm really one of the people that's pushing for this change, nobody talks about the trauma that can be suffered on the job. It certainly was never mentioned to me in my 4 years of university education before going on the job. It was never mentioned to me in any of the 3, 4, 5 newsrooms that I worked in as a professional journalist, calling, you know, homicide survivors, going to homicide traffic fatality scenes. Nobody ever talked about it. It was talked about in hushed tones near the end of my career among some of my colleagues.
Okay, let me ask
you. You know what? I go back and start talking to journalists, and most of them that I'm surveying are traumatized by their job.
All right, had they been alerted to the fact that there may be some trauma along the way, how many of them do you think out of 10, let's just say out of 10,
mm-hmm.
would have said, no, I'm going to choose another profession?
No. I think the people would join the profession.
Question.
I think
okay,
they would still
they
join.
Understand.
The difference, Ryan, is, no. The difference, Ryan, is if we have an environment where we recognize the trauma that reporters suffer on the job, then we are harboring an environment where you are sick, not weak, where it's okay to seek help,
no,
where it's okay
again,
to take some time
again,
off for this. The journalism industry does an abhorrent job of this. The first responder community is catching up to it. Journalists are way far behind.
If we're talking about real trauma, the likes of which you just mentioned, full support, 100% full support. If we're talking about the idea that you had to cover a news story where people were protesting and things turned somewhat violent, that's the reality of your job.
As a Capitol Hill reporter, and not as any reporter. You're a human being. There are police officers that committed suicide,
okay,
if I remember correctly, because of the trauma they experienced that day.
We got to come back at 416-872-1010. Phones are going wild on this one. We'd love to hear from you on it. Because for me, this is the equivalent of the postman being handed a mail satchel and saying, oh, wait a minute, there's mail in this? I can't deliver mail. Mail's
journalists,
traumatizing.
Call
what
in. I encourage journalists to call in. I doubt they will.
No, I want to hear from everyday people who consume media. What's your expectation?
And who have never reported in their lives. No, it doesn't count.
It's an elite club, right? 416-872-1010. You can text us here on The Rush at 71010.
It's The Rush with Ryan Doyle and Jay Michaels, joined by special guest co-host Tamara Cherry on the iHeartRadio Talk Network.
I want to thank everybody and make a quick announcement here because of the text messages at 71010. All the people name-calling, digging into me, calling me all sorts of different names, using cuss words. I feel traumatized by the events of today's show, so therefore, I will no longer be doing... No, wait, of course not.
Perfect. Go. Of course not. Go home. You are home. I would love to take over this conversation fully.
Well, you could, but it would be very one-sided. And we're talking... Just let me tell everybody what we're talking about. We're talking about the Capitol Hill protests. Apparently, a number of the reporters that were there that day feel traumatized and are not returning to work because of what they witnessed, because of how they felt. I will not take away from what I deem to be real trauma. That is, you know, working in a war zone, seeing dead bodies, traffic fatalities, murders, covering things that are grisly, especially things involving kids. There are reporters that cover that kind of stuff. That, to me, is real 100% trauma. When you compare those things to the Capitol Hill riots, I don't think the two things equate, and I have a hard time understanding why these people are in this business.
So this is what I find interesting, because I think that the Capitol Hill trauma would actually be a lot more obvious for a lot of people. When somebody's in a situation where they see people storming their workplace and they think they're about to start shooting them to the point that they drop to the ground, and I would assume they think that there's a chance they might die. For me, for the average reasonable person, that would be considered an obviously traumatic event. When it comes to the trauma suffered by many reporters who cover traumatic events, such as homicides, traffic fatalities, that sort of thing, a lot of the trauma that has suffered is not so obvious, because it's not just about seeing the dead bodies, the grisly photos and the court exhibits. It's about the cumulative trauma of interviewing homicide survivors day after day, or traffic fatality survivors, telling these awful stories, attending all these funerals.
But that's not what these people went through.
No. Yeah. Okay. But that's what I find interesting. You recognize that trauma. How can you minimize the trauma of the Capitol Hill, but not minimize the vicarious trauma of somebody who's not obviously part of a situation?
Let me take my example from my own life, because who would I be to not provide an example from me? I went down to cover the Raptors parade. I was down there with Jim Richards, our colleague, and Butch Carter, Raptors coach, former Raptors coach. We were standing on the overpass at Nathan Phillips Square for probably 8-9 hours, because if you remember, the parade started late that day. I remember my wife was there working for another media organization, and she had just left me and went out into the crowd. She had paid a quick visit to our broadcast booth and went out into the crowd. At that point in time, shots were fired. Mm-hmm. The plainclothes police officers stormed through and told us all to get on the ground. They were insinuating and pointing to the hotel behind me that there was an active shooter there. I was broadcasting on the ground. Now, I'm not saying that I'm some sort of scud stud from, you know, the Gulf War number one, but, you know, I did my job. I got up after.
Okay, here's the thing.
Were there a few heart racing moments? Of course, but I didn't go into that day thinking that I was going to be involved in some sort of shooting where there was a mass panic. I don't think any of the Raptors onlookers or fans did either, but we all got through it and survived, and I showed back up to work.
Oh, did you all get through it and survive? Did you all get through it? Have you talked to people who were in that crowd?
Other than the person who was shot.
As we discussed in our pre-show conversation about this, through my research and through conversations with my own therapist, I have learned that different people have different levels of resiliency. That doesn't mean that you're weak if you have less resiliency. It doesn't mean that you're more of a tough cookie, Ryan, because you've got more resiliency.
Not trying to be.
I want to read one of these many texts that I've received from this text board.
Okay, because we got a lot of calls to get to.
One of them says, if this girl wants to be a reporter and journalist, she should put on her big girl panties and do the damn job. What I'll say to that is that sort of ignorance, it is what has led to many, many first responders taking their own lives over the years, because that was the mentality in their own community. They're finally starting to come around to the sick, not weak mentality. The media industry is way far behind on that. And that sort of ignorant attitude is what causes people to not speak out with their very real traumatic situations.
I honestly think it weakens it when you rope this event into...
Weakens it? But let's, weaken? Let no, me no,
bring,
no.
Let me bring okay, in more ahead. Calls here, because Nick wants to talk. Nick, go ahead.
Okay, so look, something doesn't smell right to me. They may have been traumatized at the Capitol Hill thing. But what about the race riots? Sorry, the mostly peaceful protests in Portland and stuff like that. Were there any reports of people being traumatized there? Because a lot worse things happened there than at Capitol Hill. So there's a bit
Again, and thank you for that. You know, that's an interesting question, because, you know, is there a political agenda here?
Oh, hello.
Over the program. I have no idea what's happening right now.
I don't know if I'm not traumatized by that.
Mm-hmm. Find very inspiring about the story about the reporters on Capitol Hill is that they are talking about it in an industry where it's traditionally not been talked about.
All right, let's bring Jordan in. Jordan, you have some words for Tamara this afternoon.
Is that me?
It is. If your name's Jordan, then yes.
Yeah, go ahead. Listen, I've been listening to you guys. I'm with you, buddy, 100%. This partner you got sitting there across here, wherever she's sitting, she needs to get with it. That's part of the job. Take it and do it, or go get another job. It's very simple. It's part of the job.
How are you okay, so
something that's part of your job?
I'd like to point out that during this conversation, I've been receiving text messages from several very high profile and respected journalists in Toronto who are thanking me for my comments and telling me that I'm bang on. Of course, because of their current roles, they can't call in and identify themselves. But something else that I would point out when it comes to what you find traumatic or not, the first time as a reporter that I really recognized the effects of the physically uninjured survivors of traumatic events was after covering the Eaton Center shooting back in, was that 2012? And when I was interviewing people at 51 Division who had been in that food court and were picking up their belongings a few days later, and some of the accounts of these people who didn't even witness the shooting, but I distinctly remember interviewing a mother who was in the women's bathroom with her child, her toddler, who was in a stroller. And this honestly brings tears to my eyes just thinking about it now, who is describing to me hearing gunshots, taking her child out of the stroller and saying, we need to get ready to run. She thought that this gunman going to come in here? Are they going to get us? Are they going to kill us? There was PTSD suffered by probably dozens, if not hundreds of people that day that we never talk about. You don't need to witness the shooting. That was one idiot with a gun, as the former Toronto deputy chief so aptly put it, who is targeting specific people. But there were a lot of people there that day who were traumatized because they thought this is a random shooter. They're going to come. They're going to shoot my family. I'm dead.
Let's bring Kyle into the conversation. Kyle?
Yeah, how you doing there?
Not bad.
So, I don't want to take
it. Doing well, Kyle. Thanks.
Take a step back and look at it from just a different aspect of point of view. How politically polarized are the media down there in the U.S., especially on Capitol Hill, left, right? How many of these reporters there, right, on Capitol Hill, were left-leaning? Okay. The insurgency or whatever it was on Capitol Hill is considered to be from the far right or the right-leaning people. How much of this is really real? Okay, and it's fine. Like, I get it. There's people that can be traumatized for all kinds of things in life. But how much of this is just another push to make sure that Trump can't run in 2024?
Yeah, I think it's an interesting question. Yeah, and I'm not sure, like, en masse that they all got together. I think that's almost too conspiracy theory oriented. But, you know, you've got a fairly left-wing media down in the States. I think the other caller who was, you know, commenting on the fact that there are left-wing protests that reporters cover all the time. You never hear about those reporters fearing for their lives.
Maybe we will more so now.
Well, maybe.
Now that the conversation started.
It's an interesting point that balance isn't there, that it's all coming from one side, and it all has to do with a very right-leaning protest. Thank you all for your many, many text messages. I didn't get any from any well-respected journalists, by the way, just the non-respected ones. When the rush continues...
What were they saying? I'd like to know.
When should police interfere with a agreed-upon fight? We'll talk about that. And a Niagara doctor saying that it's time to reopen the border, but not right away. We'll explain that and a whole lot more as the rush continues.